Yesterday we have heard about mukti, salvation from material existence. Gop Kumar, he have reached the post of Brahma. Becoming Brahmaji, he have invited all the scriptures, all the shastras, and he have told them, I wish to hear about this topic of mukti. Yesterday we heard about it, and today we are continuing. All the shastras personified, they spoke about mukti, and Srimad Bhagavatam concluded with words that mukti is endlessly insignificant. Some of the tamasic shastras, those scriptures in the mode of ignorance, they were glorifying mukti and saying that to gain mukti, it's necessary to have jnana or knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam told that in actuality it is not so, that by the supreme process, the topmost process of bhakti, mukti is easily achievable. And also, even demons are gaining mukti. Shishupal, Dantavaktra, Kamsa and others, yesterday Agasura and other demons were mentioned. So if demons and devotees can gain mukti, does it mean that there is no difference between them? Of course not. There is great difference, as between heavens and hell. Devotees sincerely surrendering to Lord Shri Krishna life after life, they are offering everything unto His lotus feet. They are surrendering their families, parents, everything. So how is it possible to say that there is no difference between demons and devotees? So the conclusion is that mukti is endlessly insignificant. So if some devotee practicing bhakti aspires for mukti, it means that such a devotee is bereft of knowledge. That is ignorance. To consider so, to practice bhakti and aspire for mukti. Pure devotees of Lord Shri Krishna are so that even if the Lord would offer mukti, they wouldn't accept it. In comparison to bhakti, mukti is endlessly insignificant. Devotees wouldn't in no situation accept mukti. So, for a devotee of the Lord, it's not proper to aspire for mukti. That's ignorance. So, what do devotee desire? Devotee doesn't desire anything. If praying to the Lord in this regard, devotees are praying to become Lord's dasa anudas, servant of His servants, great munijans, great saints that attain siddhi, perfection, they are also praying to become das anudas. They are so humble, they are considering that they are not qualified to become servant, das of the Lord. And this is why they are praying to become das anudas, servant of His servants, life after life. Mahatma Vritra, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he addresses him like this. When we speak about this personality, we are saying Vritrasura, demon Vritra. But Srila Jiva Goswami glorifies him as great soul, Mahatma Vritra. Although he was born in demon family, he is praying to the Lord. O Prabhu, O my dear Lord, if I am to be born again, please allow me to be born as your devotee, Das Anudas, servant of your servants, to be able to serve you. So devotees are not aspiring for mukti. Those who are pure devotees of Lord, they don't desire mukti. So this verse is given by Srila Jiva Goswami. He's saying that Sri Krishna's madhurya, his transcendental loving sweetness, beauty, is relished only through prem, pure love towards him. Only through prem it's possible to relish madhurya of Lord Sri Krishna. Only through prem, pure love, it's possible to relish Sri Krishna's madhurya, his transcendental loving sweetness, beauty. Sri Krishna is saying in this further sloka, further verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's written by Kaviraj Goswami Pad, that Lord himself is saying, my madhurya is always newer and newer. And according to their own prem, devotees are relishing it. According to bhavas that different devotees have towards the Lord, transcendental loving moods that they've developed towards the Lord, they relish him in different ways. Shastra scriptures are teaching us that in one or the other way we should develop relationship with the Lord, in one of the four main relationships, Dasyam, Sakyam, Vatsalyam and Madhur. If someone is in the mood of Dasyam and we would force Manjari Bhav upon such a devotee, it would be offensive. It's not possible. So it's told these four relationships are there that we should develop develop relationship with the Lord. Dasyam, servitorhood, Sakyam, friendship, Vatsalyam, parenthood, and Madhur Bhav, intimate love with the Lord. So although Madhur is given as the topmost, devotees relish the Lord in each of these moods in endless way according to their own mood. So, according to the mood, devotees relish the Lord. There is one Lord, but different devotees relish him in different ways. As example was given when Lord Shri Krishna went to Mathura and he have killed elephant Kuvalaya Pida and further on entered the wrestling arena. Each of the personalities have seen him in different way, although he is one personality, but different devotees saw him in different ways. They've seen the Lord in different ways. For example, Yadavas they have seen. Our worshipable Lord is entering. Other wrestlers were considering. He's a great wrestler, very courageous fighter. Kamsa was thinking, my death is coming, Yamaraj personified is coming. Mothers that were cultivating parenthood mood towards the Lord, they were thinking, oh, our son is entering. Cowherds, they were thinking, one of us is coming, as Krishna being a cowherd boy. Yogis were thinking, the Lord that we are meditating upon in our hearts, he is entering. One Lord has come, and each of them, each of the devotees, in different mood, they've seen the Lord in different way. Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're giving lots of knowledge. It's not easy to understand these topics. So mukti is given even to asuras. So does it mean the devotees should aspire for it? Never, not at all. How is bhakti? This further shloka, further verse explains. Example is given, comparison to the person being hungry. When someone is hungry and then food is given to that person, with each bite, that hungry person will gain, first of all, tushti, satisfaction, and along with it, pushti, or nourishment, fulfillment, and strength. So those who are engaged in the bhajan of the Lord, in different ways, they are relishing the Lord through that process of bhajan. We don't speak there only about tushti and pushti, satisfaction and fulfillment, but of the greatest bliss that devotees experience. In the further shloka, further verse, Lord Shri Krishna is speaking to the greatest of learned persons, his dear devotee Uddhavji. This is also a very deep topic, but we are briefly mentioning it. Lord is saying, hey Uddhav, for devotees who are engaged in my bhakti, it's not necessary to have jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renouncement. We are thinking that without jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renouncement, nothing is possible. But it's not like that. Someone may have lots of knowledge and be so renounced, but without having bhakti, it doesn't mean anything. Does it mean that when someone is just wearing simple clothes and leaving to the forest, giving up everything, that's only renounced person. What does real renouncement mean? When someone is worshipping the Lord with great opulence and at the same time possessing great bhakti, great devotion towards the Lord, and as a result of it being completely renounced within, that is the greatest renouncement. Renouncement is taking place in mind. It's not external thing. There are so many examples of someone who is poor, doesn't have anything. There are persons that are bereft of everything because of their bad fortune, or someone is sick, feeling weak. So they are giving up everything. But does it mean it's the real renouncement? These are very hard topics to understand. Example is given of the lion. If the lion is thinking, a powerful, strong lion is thinking, today I will not hunt the deer, then that lion is renounced. But if another animal, another lion, is simply weak, it's not able to hunt a deer anymore. If that lion is thinking, oh, I could hunt the lion, but I simply don't want. That is not real renouncement. That animal, that lion, is simply weak. Jnana and Vairagya, they are not limbs of bhakti. Along with Jnana and Vairagya, bhakti should be present. Then that would be the topmost position. We have so many examples of a persons that are externally presenting themselves as a very renounced, wearing simple clothes, but inside there is no bhakti. So that kind of renouncement doesn't mean anything. It's just pretending. There are different shlokas in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita telling the same thing. Jnana and Vairagya are not necessary in bhakti, but in order that Jnana and Vairagya become successful, bhakti is necessary. So among these three, bhakti is the topmost. Their description of Gyan Mishra Bhakti, Gyan, knowledge that is mixed with bhakti, then such a Gyan is the topmost. If someone is just false renouncing, then such a person is in loss. They will degrade themselves. These are very hard topics, not sentimental, that the Shastras are telling. There is no place for crying there. The medicine as injection is given. It means Shastra, scripture, is giving knowledge to teach us, however hard it may sound. So it is explained that false renouncement shouldn't be done. That Falgu Vairagya, the false renunciation, shouldn't be done. Falgu is the name for the river that from the top, at the earth level, it looks like it's just dry earth. But when you step further on, then the water is coming from within, and it's a very dangerous position. The person may lose their life there. So if someone is just falsely pretending to wear a simple cloth, but inside they are cultivating the business mood, they are greedy and they are pretending to be devotees to gain wealth. That is false renunciation. This is cheating. They may try to cheat other devotees, but they will never be able to cheat Lord Govinda. They will degrade themselves. With the process of bhakti, person is elevating themselves. But when someone is pretending and cheating, pretending to be devotee, then they are degrading themselves. There are so many examples in the scriptures regarding it. When someone is cheating in the dress of a devotee, that they just degrade themselves. There are so many such examples of personalities who wander around the world. They are pretending to be devotees, but in actuality, they are not practicing bhakti, real bhakti. We should stay away from these personalities. Thakur Mahashay is saying so. Chaitanya Charitamrita is further on explaining that if someone is practicing faltu vairagya, it means that cheating, false vairagya or renouncement, these persons will degrade themselves. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad is explaining that also markat vairagya shouldn't be done. Markat means monkey. It means renouncement of a monkey shouldn't be done. Monkey is so renounced, he doesn't even wear a dress. From external point of view, he's very renounced. But inside, all the bad qualities of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, all of these six enemies are present in the heart. So that is monkey-like renouncement. So these verses are saying the same thing, that mukti that no devotee is aspiring for it. In comparison with bhakti, mukti is endlessly insignificant. And how is the Lord? Who is He? He is Ananda Brahman. He is blissful Brahman. He is Rasa Vaisaha. He is the source of all nectar, of all ras. He is the source of all ras, nectar, relish. He is Anandam Brahma, he is blissful Brahman. Rig Veda is saying, Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad describes it. Rig Veda is saying that the Lord is Madhur. No many Shastras, or almost nowhere, it is described in this way, that the Lord is Madhur, but in Rig Veda it is told that the Lord is the source of all madhurya, means transcendental loving sweetness. Rig Veda is saying, Om Madhu, Om Madhu, three times. It's repeating. How is the Lord? In his Madhurashtakam, Bilva Mangala Thakur is four times repeating Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. That the Lord is Madhu, transcendental, lovingly sweet, beautiful. That his lips, his lotus mouth is Madhur. His smile, laughter is Madhu. His lotus face is Madhu. Everything is Madhur about him. So beautiful. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying, here further on, it's explained that Madhuram is that essence of the Lord. Everything about him, his smile, everything is Madhuram. He is Madhuram, transcendentally, lovingly sweet, and sweeter and the sweetest. In this world, we need to teach, to sing, to dance. But as Vaikuntha Dham is explained, it is the place where each word is a song, each step is a dance. So the form of Govinda, his qualities, everything is glorified as Madhur. So the Shastras are not glorifying anyone else in this way. So Madhuram, as the essence of the Lord's qualities, his transcendental loving sweetness, beauty. So Gop Kumar, as Brahmaji, learning from Shastras, he have understood what? That mukti is endlessly insignificant. Hearing from all the Shastras, he has gained this divine knowledge that mukti is insignificant and bhakti is the topmost. As Gop Kumar continued chanting the mantra given by his guru, he was thinking, my Vraja Dham is so nice. Earlier we have explained that those devotees who have once learned about Vraja Bhakti, they will never be able to forget it. In this way, Gop Kumar, although in the position of Brahma, remembering Vraja Dham, Vraja Bhakti, he was developing desire. I would like to go to Vraja Dham again. And suddenly, Lord Vishnu has appeared in front of him, and with a great affection, he have told him, oh, dear Gop Kumar, I know your mind. You should go back to Vraja Dham. It is the place of my pastimes. It is manifestation of my heart. You go back to Vrajabhumi. You will meet your Gurudev there. And he will give you knowledge of all the tattvas, all the transcendental truth. By his mercy, you will develop whole perfection. So the Lord have told him, "Oh, my dear Gop Kumar, even Lord Brahma is desiring to be born in Vrajabhumi as a Gulma grass, soft medicinal herb. He is praying in this way." So Vrajabhumi is the greatest. Uddhavji Maharaj, he's such greatest Bhagavad devotee, learned devotee, knowledgeable as the teacher of all devatas, Brihaspati himself. He have told, "I wish to glorify each particle of the dust of the lotus feet of gopis." Uddhavji is glorifying each of the particles, the dust of the lotus feet of gopis. If we would comment on this shloka, we could continue for months and months. It is the essential shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, from all scriptures. Uddhavji has prayed, "O Prabhu, O my dear Lord, if you wish to give me another birth, please allow me to become grass in your dearest Vrajabhumi. Allow me to take birth as a grass in Vraj. Then my life will become perfect, because I will gain the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Radharani and her Sakis. The dust of their lotus feet will touch me as they will walk through Vrajabhumi." Commentators on this shloka, they are saying, "Uddhavji, what is the guarantee that you will gain the dust of gopis' lotus feet if you appear as a grass somewhere far in some thorny forest?" And the Uddhavji is answering, "Even there, for sure, I will gain gopis' dust of their lotus feet. Because when Sri Govinda, Sri Krishna is playing his flute and calling the gopis to come, then the gopis forget everything, getting ready so quickly that the dress that should be put down, they are wearing up. What is to be worn up, they're putting down. They're not able to put their kajal properly. They're running through forests directly from where the sound of Krishna's flute is coming. They're not aware of direction they are running to. They are not aware if it's a proper road or if it's some thorny forest. They are running." So Uddhavji is answering in these commentaries of the Acharya in their own words. He's saying, "For sure then, when the gopis would run through Vrajabhumi, through Vraja forest, the dust of their lotus feet will touch me even if I appear as a grass in some faraway thorny forest." So such a great devotee is Uddhavji, even Brahmaji himself. They are aspiring, praying to be born in Vrajabhumi. So Gop Kumar have accepting instruction of the Lord. He was laughing in bliss. And at the same time, he was overwhelmed with certain anxiety. Why was he experiencing this anxiety and even unhappiness? Because he was considering, shall he be able to gain darshan of the Lord all the time? So Kop Kumar was having these mixed feelings, the great bliss he was experiencing, and at the same time, sadness. Chanting the mantra given by his guru, he have reached Shivrindavan Dham. Again, he has come back to Vraja. So here, the second chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is ending. And further is the third chapter. Meaning this was the end of second canto and the third canto to begin. So all this description was given of Gop Kumar, who was born as a cowherd boy in Govardhan, how he has received Diksha from his guru, how he has met poor Brahmana that was worshipping the Lord but didn't have enough money to offer nicer service, so he instructed Gop Kumar to go to the neighboring kingdom where the king is worshipping the Lord in very nice way. Gop Kumar became king there. And further on, he has reached Jagannath Puri Dham, where he has become king of Jagannath Kshetra. From there, he has reached the post of Indra at Svargaloka. And from there, from the service that he offered there, he further reached Maharlok. From Maharloka, he went to Tapaloka. From Tapaloka, he went to Satyaloka, and there he gained the topmost post of Brahma, where he has stayed for very, very long time. And following instruction of the Lord, he has come back to Vraja. Above Satyaloka, there are further planets as Vaikuntha Loka. So there are further Leelas that we are going to hear little by little. So we are hoping to continue with our Katha tomorrow again. And today we are putting our Katha to rest here.
Nitai Guru Sitana Premanande Hari Hari Bo.